Okay, I'm going to have you do a short exercise. Thanks for that. Short exercise. Martin Luther King said, we don't say burn, burn, baby, burn. We say build, baby, build, build. And why does he think this way? Well, because of what we're going to speak about today. Christ is in you. Christ in you. Isn't that amazing? Christ is in us, and he is a builder. He cares. He is love. God is love. Then he said, build, baby, build. And then he said, learn, baby, learn. And remember, he's talking to 14-year-olds. Like, learn, education, learn. What kind of education? What, you know, well, there's many kinds, but the kind we are involved in this morning, this is spiritual education. And when Jesus was on the earth, he said to learn of him, come unto me, learn of me. He was a teacher. Christ was a teacher. Learn. I will give you these words. Wow, this is the highest form of education. And when you get these words, start humming, moving in your heart and in your mind. And you start meditating and concentrating on him and his word, his presence and his word. It builds you up. And then he said, earn. Baby, earn. What does that mean? You can get a job. You can work. You know, that's what he's saying. And I mean, it's not him alone, but and it's just the way of life that you and I have found. When we are earning, it's more than just money. It's investment, it's heart, it's words. We'll speak about it today, okay? So your exercise is just to stand up, please. Stand up, number one, first step, stand up. And then you just turn to your neighbor and have a good time and say to them, it's not burn, baby, burn, it's build, baby, build, okay? Okay, turn, before you are seated, consider Proverbs 6, please. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Our series this January is on practical aspects of life. Working is today's subject. Working, what work is, and Bible teaching on that subject. So next week it is wealth, money, also more than money, but wealth, spiritual wealth, attitude, love, all of it. All January is really love, and what that means in our hearts and how we now live because of love. And then the next sermon is on recreation, how we spend our time and how much we enjoy being refreshed by having a break. Look at one. How many days did it take for God to create the universe? Okay, one day, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, right? Is that six? Yeah. Okay. I mean, here's a good question. Could he have made the universe like that, right? Don't you think so? He's all powerful. Why didn't he do that? It would have saved us a couple pages of the Bible. Okay, the first day, the second day, the third day. Why did he do that? He's a builder. Good point. Okay. He worked. He worked as a sequence. And then when did he make us? On this day. And then what happened on the seventh day? Rest. Isn't that great that he made us at the end so that we could just go right into the hammock. Okay, right into the spiritual hammock, right into the rest. We would go into the rest. But what did he tell us to do? Remember when he made, he said, you are to keep the garden, right? So were they to work? God made man to work. He did. But also rest. He would be resting in God and then working. And what he would do would be fill the earth with himself because he is one with God. So Christ would fill the earth through the first Adam. And man would have authority over all of the elements of the earth, every living thing and all things. And he would keep the garden because he had a job. Having a job is not a curse. Having a job is a blessing. Having responsibility is not a curse, but having responsibility is a blessing, okay? All right, say that to your neighbor for a minute. Make sure they get it. Okay, you may be seated. These are a few notes on, a few thoughts and notes on the subject this morning. And thanks for your prayers, your love, your faith. It was cold this morning, wasn't it? But God's people are not a cold people, warm people. And when I came in the door and I could feel the heat was on, I said, thank you, Scotty Dubay. He's our head guy to keep the building running and all the services that are here happening. And I'm just thankful for that. Look at chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant. Read it with me. Go to the ant. No, sluggard. What does that mean, sluggard? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And why go to the ant? Because observation, verse 6, consider her ways. Observation. Have you ever seen an ant taking a nap? You know, off to the side, you know, just kind of slumber. I mean, and who's in charge of those ants? And who's telling them what to do? And how does the whole thing work? And how do they have a nervous system and an understanding? And how do they know where to go? And how does the whole thing? It's all a colony. And there's a queen and the workers, and there are military ants. There are ants that make war and kill other ants, and then there are the worker ants, there are the male and female ants, and there's the queen that's producing like millions of eggs, one ant, and the whole thing is incredible. So we don't have to go that far. Praise God, we're not doing that today. But we are saying that there are lessons that we learn, and God directs people to look at the ant. And one of the things about them is they don't seem to have a boss. They're shouting at them and yelling at them and telling them, but by their nature, they know what to do. I like that point. By their nature, they know what they're doing. So it says it there in verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. I love it. I mean, in our message this morning, we'll go to the core of it in a minute, but just for you to think with me about the subject. There are some people who are workaholics, and they don't know how to stop, and they carry it with them to their demise. I've always thought the devil wants us to work too hard, too much, and not really know why. And then he would like us to work too little and try to evade it and not know the blessing that is in it. There is blessing in it because we are made to work. Work is in many ways a blessing, and we'll talk about it in a minute. I'm a sluggard, and then or I am a workaholic, and somehow, and this is the blessing in your life, and this is a very important point, somehow it is possible for you to understand work in a way that it's hard to explain it to people, but it is a beautiful thing. And I'll write down here three words. What you do is an easy thing. What do you do? I am a computer programmer. I am a car mechanic. I am a housewife. I take care of children, my children. I'm a kindergarten teacher. I am a professor, a teacher. I'm a common laborer. I drive a tractor. What do you do? What is kind of an easy word. What you do. How you do it. You get your training. How you do it. But this is the big word. Why? Why do you do it? Why? That's a big word. Why? This word is sometimes answered, you know, it's the practical, all the practical things like money. I went to school for it. I just do it. It's just the way I was brought up. My dad did it, or I do this because I followed my best friend in it, or I got the idea. This is what I do. This is my work. And, of course, we can ask the question why on many levels. Why am I alive? Who can answer me? Why am I alive? Why did this happen to me? Why is there, you know, and on and on. And then work. Why do I do what it is that I do? Okay? Well, these are big questions. Let's see if we can say something about it. Turn to 2 Peter with me, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Just the verses 3 and 4. These are incredibly profound statements. And we said the ant doesn't seem to have any overseer, but has something in its understanding. I mean, just like, you know, yeah. I mean, just the smallest little thing, right? An ant. And you look at it as it on the patio, and it goes, unfortunately, it goes into your house and comes back on the patio, okay? And that smallest little thing, how can it? It's amazing, isn't it? Okay. So, how about us? What's in us? How do we work? What's happened to us? Why is there so much of trouble in our lives? Why are so many things hard to figure out and understand? Well, we've lost God. We've lost God, and that's the point. Being born again, hallelujah, Christ came into our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us, not every human being, but us, the category, the believer, has received divine power. And he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is an amazing verse, isn't it? Look at it. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life, like life. Like what pertains, what do you mean pertains to life? A mom changing diapers could say, I don't have a life. I change diapers all day long. And my doors are shut. They've all forgotten me. I used to be in Bible school. I was a missionary. I was a disciple. Now it seems I'm in some kind of a, my doors have closed. Well, look at the verse. He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. My job, what has he given me that pertains to life? Like, joy pertains to life, like love, peace, temperance, patience, godliness, righteousness. His divine power has given to us what is needed so that we can live here. It says, pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. The next part, that called us to glory and virtue. It seems that God is interested in everything in our lives, like to get the one thing, the essential. Listen, coal is a black carbon packed with energy that we dig out of the ground, coal. And if you burn it, a lot of energy is released from a small amount of coal. And that burning, if it's hooked up to a system called a locomotive, then it heats the water. The water turns to steam. The steam drives the pistons, and the locomotive pulls, and it can pull a whole wagon, a whole train of cars. Where is it coming from? Where is the original source but the coal? Isn't this the meaning? That the divine power has given us that packed energy that will result in everything else happening, so that I am able to live my life out there because of what is happening in here, in us. This is our new birth. Not by works that we have done, but by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, by the regenerating of the Holy Spirit, we are a new creation. And by this new creation, we are able to live. And we are able to also bring why into our job, like in a way that is, it just changes things. I'll give you an example. A janitor worked in a hospital. I heard this story. A janitor worked in a hospital, and of course he had just simple responsibilities that he did, and he enjoyed doing them. That was his job. And one of the things he had to do was put pictures up on the walls in the hospital for the patients. And he kind of got into it, and he started to think in terms of the patients, loving them, loving the people that were in the hospital. He said in his heart, it was, I don't want to just put up any picture. I want to do it in such a way that the picture and how I and the whole thing was like, I want these patients to get better. I want this place to be good. I would like the doctors to be able to be in an atmosphere. I want to play a part in what is happening in the hospital. And by love, he started to do his job out of love. What can I do? It's not like burn, baby, burn, right? It's build. It's build, right? This is the nature that we have. Consider the ant who doesn't have an overseer, but she is busy, meaning like it's internal. The ant is moving like internally, not externally by military commands or by a drill instructor or by a paycheck. But the ant is doing it out of something internal. And it's the same with you and me. We have found another resource. We have found the packed coal, the packed energy, that new man that is in you and I. So we are able to hear the word or hear God in the word. And it motivates us in love. And the janitor at the hospital, as he's doing his job, like it might be nobody knows the difference between one man putting up a picture because he's got a paycheck, or another man, a man putting up a picture because he cares about it. You may not know the difference, but God knows the difference. And so do you. And when you find it, and when we find this, it does have an effect on us. And we learn. So read the verse 4, please, in this text. I realize, okay, verse 4, whereby are given unto us by this plan, verse 3, exceeding great and precious promises. God knows we need some great and precious promises. God knows we need more because we have to know why we're doing what we're doing. Lord, is it in vain that I go to work every day or I save my money and it's gone? Is it in vain that I give away and nobody cares or pays any attention? Is it in vain I build a company and within a couple of years it's been devastated or destroyed? Is it in vain that I work into my old age and it seems that I have so little? Is it in vain, Lord? And God is saying, I have to give you great and precious promises. I have to say to you, your life is not in vain. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that I have done something for you because I gave my son so that my son would be in you and my son would lead you and guide you in your life. And maybe in a material way you don't see much, but in your heart you see something that he writes about here. In your heart you see the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's very strong. And you just are rejoicing that you cannot measure your life by these earthly things. You are living in faith. And you say, whatever we have done by faith in Christ, it is not in vain. Do you know one of the curses in life is the word vanity? Do you know what it means? Vanity. Emptiness. Yeah, emptiness or aimlessness. It is in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to teach that this semester. It's going to be a great class on the wisdom books. It's a great class, and Ecclesiastes uses the word vanity more than 40 times. It is repeated, and I want to illustrate it. When you save your money all your life, we had a man here in Baltimore City, a well-known high-level man who had an enormous amount of money. He fell off a ladder and he died instantly, and he was gone. And I was thinking, a man very capable and very wealthy, and then it's over. It seems vanity is one of the curses on us, that we would do things, and yet where does it go? Where does it go? What's the end game? What's the result? It seems like, have you ever built a sandcastle on the seashore for your children? You know, with a shovel and the buckets, and you're working and you build a sandcastle. By the end of the day, it's underwater. Tide came in. It's over. It's gone. What did it mean? It meant a few moments or a few hours of fun with the kids, and it's over and gone. And the believer has to learn to live like that. I cannot build something that will last forever. But while I am working and building, I am also realizing there is more that God is recognizing, because God has put in us his nature. And now we do things. And remember when the woman gave the box of ointment to Jesus and poured it out? What did he say? This will not be forgotten wherever the gospel is preached. I like to think like this. There are things that you and I do that will not be forgotten. They are not in vain. They are remembered forever. I like to think that things that we do in our life, in one level they are gone, in another level they are not gone. Hallelujah. Yeah. And nobody can tell us this. Like, the ant doesn't have an overseer. Nobody can tell us this life that we are living. We have found great and precious promises that we are building our lives on, that we are doing these things not because somebody is yelling at us or offering a lot of money or doing something like this. No, we are living a life that is a different life, that is being written in our new spiritual DNA, where we say, this is the way, walk in it. Yeah, but there's no money over there. I don't want to, I know money is important, but that isn't the why up here on the board. The big why has to be bigger than a paycheck, like the janitor. Why? Because this is my job. I do get a paycheck. I appreciate it. I have to have a job. But in my job, I have God in my heart, and I'm learning how to live before God. Therefore, I'm not a thief, because God is not a thief. I don't steal, because God is not a thief. I have integrity. What I say, I really mean it, or I want it to be. I want to live by what I say, because it's in our hearts what we say. I want to live on another way as a citizen of heaven with a divine purpose. And some of us some of you who may be unemployed, it is not a bad thing, because you're never unemployed with God. You may be unemployed, and that may be what it is, but it might be that I can use that time, because I have an engine that is going on in my heart. And maybe God is using this transition period to lead me into something that he has for me. It is not necessarily a bad thing. But if it means that I've lost my purpose, lost my sense of responsibility, lost my sense of focus, then I simply hear what God has to say, and that inner man that is in you will respond to what God is saying, and God is saying, I will lead you, I will guide you, I will show you, I will use you, I need you, I need you in this world. And work is a blessing on many levels, and many different kinds of work. There is heart work also, like in the ministry. Heart work, academic work, study work. There is serving people work, looking for people to care for them work. There is faith work. One little point I would teach my children, I say, you could work for money, not for people, but just for money. You work for money, and that's all that you have that you're interested in, and that's one kind of a job. Maybe an investment banker, he may be thinking not so much of people, but he's thinking of money and how to make money. Second category, you work for people and money, like a nurse or a teacher. You work for people, you help people, but you also get paid for it. And the third kind is there's no money involved at all. That's like in the ministry. Like the ministry may be this one also, like there are ministers that are doing it for the people and the money. But then there's this kind where you're just going to do it anyway. You never get paid for it. You just do it by faith. You do it because the ministry of God is so valuable and so important and so powerful, and God will take care of you. This is what Jesus taught about those disciples that were with him and followed him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things he will take care of you. And many, many times, Mark 10:30, if you lose all of these things in your own life also, your mother, father, lands, all of it, I'll give you hundredfold. I will take care of you. That's a beautiful promise. And there are people that follow God in this way, and they find him to be faithful in it. Others have a calling this way. If it's only for money, I could make the money and use it for people, but it may not be in my job. It's not in my job in this category. So, in any case, look at verse 4 with me. God has given us great and precious promises. I love that word, precious. Precious. Isn't there a movie? Remember that movie? Precious. Who said that? What was the guy's name? The cursed little hobbit. What was his name? Schmeagle. Precious. What's the meaning of the word precious? What? It's okay. It's irreplaceable. You cannot find another. There is no other. Okay. Mozart's pianos in Europe. I was in Hungary, and somebody told me in the next village there was one of Mozart's pianos in the museum. And they said, "You want to go see it?" I go, "No, not really." Okay, if there are six of those pianos and one is destroyed, how many are left? Brilliant. And then you lose four more. How many are left? One. Okay, what is that piano? Precious. Precious. These are precious promises. Yeah, you can't get them anywhere. We are students of these. These are amazing. Irreplaceable. I can't find them anywhere. Nobody talks like this. This book. These words are amazing. They are given unto us, this is verse 4, that by these promises you might be partakers of the, what nature? Divine. I'm sorry. I can't change the word. It says divine nature. What's that mean? God's nature. We are partakers of God's nature. That means that coal pact that's producing all these systems working is happening in you and me. And we just sit back and hear it and realize it. Build, baby, build. Learn, baby, learn. Earn, baby, earn. Or work, baby, work. Because you are learning, we are learning what God is saying to us. We have something we never had before. We have a fire. We have a Holy Spirit. We have motivation. We have the reason why. Why is fun. Why? Because God is with me in it. Because God's will. It might look like just a simple pickup truck, a dumpy pickup truck that I'm driving, but I can tell you why I'm driving the truck. I can tell you I can go back and say right there is the divine nature that is in our heart, in our life. You might say, Pastor, that you mean really Monday morning I'm going to feel that way? I don't know, but I want to read the words to you. Look at it, verse, because it addresses that. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't it amazing that, like, you don't lust for some things? you know. You go down in Baltimore City and the guy offers you the first hit of drug, the drug I have for you, is free. You know, you want it? And you look at him and say, what? Are you kidding me? Do you know who you're talking to? Like, are you serious that that's a temptation? I mean, is the second one free? Is the third one free? You know, you want me to be on a respirator by the end of the day or the end of the month? I mean, what are you doing out here? Why are you doing this? Why are you destroying people's lives? What are you doing? I'm not interested. I don't have the lust that the world feeds on, the reaching. That's the meaning of the word lust, is to stretch. Yeah, I need another one. Another piece of chocolate cake. Yeah, I want another beer, another woman, another dollar, another lie, another, you know how you get the idea. We have escaped. We have escaped. We have escaped the corruption in the world that is there through lust. You don't have it, but instead, what do you have? Verse, it says, 5. I want to finish here, but this is a list of words. 5, 6, and 7. And we'll just say them. Give all diligence. You should work at it. To add to your faith virtue. You should work at it. You should work at it. It's a different kind of work. You should pay attention. And you and I, we have to pay attention to it. Give all diligence, add to our faith virtue, meaning excellence. Add to the excellence, there's a sequence. Add to the excellence knowledge. Work at it. Add to knowledge temperance. And then add patience to it. And then godliness. And then verse 7, add to the godliness brotherly kindness. And then add charity. Hey, work at it. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep coming here. Keep hearing what God has to say from this book. And keep at it on Monday. And add to your faith. Go to work by faith. Add excellence to it. And then knowledge. And then add your temperance. Like take a chill pill. And control yourself in God, because you have the nature of God in you. And you know what? You want that. I know you do. You want that list. You want those words operating in your life. I know you do. And you will see the changes that will happen in your heart and in your life. And you'll see that it really does work. You're a security guard, and you go to work, and the Holy Spirit is with you, and you care about the people at your working place, and you care about the job, you care about the company, you care about what's happening. You're kind of awake, alert. You're in your job, and you enjoy the responsibility. You enjoy it. I'm not envious of somebody who doesn't have some purpose and some direction that has to happen, like the ant. The ant has it in him, and he has something going on, and he works hard at it, and he does what he does. And I think this is a great blessing for us. We are made for it. It came to us before the fall. God wanted us to fill the earth with himself through us. And we see the work. And when Jesus came, he told these parables and stories, and he commended people that worked hard and were responsible with what it was that they were doing. And I feel the same way about you and I. Listen, How many times do we fail? A lot. How many times I don't do what it is that I should do? I mean, absolutely. As a parent, as a pastor, as a believer, as a worker, and so on. Okay, but that's not my focus. My focus is on this amazing blessing that you and I have, and that God is with us so that we can enjoy the fruit of our labor and say, yes, our kids' work turned out okay. That's amazing. I can't believe that happened. And God was in it. And if they didn't, then we could say, okay, there's some work to do. I have something that God has in my heart. All of us, our life is not an accident. God is with us, and he has work for us to do in a beautiful way, and we can enjoy it and see these characteristics in us as we are also laboring with him. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we feel that there's stuff for us here on the earth for us to do. And we are learning. It's in our new life, involvement, accountability, diligence, responsibility, showing up. You're showing up on a Sunday morning. This is what God has us to do. And be encouraged, restored, and understand why we are living, why we do what it is that we do, and that this is a plan of God, and the resource is in God, that he gave us Christ. You, Jesus, gave us yourself so that we could walk in the newness of life. Bless our work this week and teach us these things and lead us, Lord, in this great subject in your name. And then anyone here who has not started the Christian life, start today. Believe in Christ. Trust in him. And you are born again. You must start it by believing in Jesus, saying to Jesus, I believe in you. I am a sinner. I have failed you many, many ways. I am a sinner. I have failed you. I cannot do what you would have. I cannot do anything without you. I mean, I can live, but not really in any meaningful way without you. I need you. Save me. Give me this new life. In Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer, please just raise your hand and the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all, just raise your hand. I want Jesus in my life. If you're not raising your hand, but you do are believing in him, then you have a new life. You are born again by the God's grace and walk with him by faith. God will hear you and answer you. In Jesus' name, amen.